My name is Scooter, and you're listening to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston for Free Radio Santa Cruz, Community Radio, and LPFM stations worldwide. You know, when they did their fact-checking on their documents this week, didn't the guy from the National Guard say something like, I'm not sure if we wrote these or not, but the information seems accurate enough. Well, not mentioned in the retraction there, Dan. Here's Harry Shearer from the show, Bad Days at BlackRock.
Okay, I'm going to just put this marker down here. I know document examiners are all over the place on this one, and I believe you that ours are as good as anybody else's. So, with that in mind, please, why don't we try to just get some document examiners in here that might be better for television? I mean, CNN, ABC, they seem to be able to unearth some folks who actually don't twitch when they talk. All right, call me. Who is it?
Brother Wallace.
Mm-hmm. Who is it really?
Brother Wallace.
You sure this isn't a recreation of Brother Wallace, a hologram being faxed from the Abilene Kinkos?
I'm sure.
Come on in.
You sure I'm not bothering you? You don't want to eat your... What is that you're eating?
Takeout from the Four Seasons. This little container is the foie gras.
Okay.
I know you're more the takeout meatball kind of customer.
Hey, not only did the city apologize for the arrest of that little incident, mm-hmm. The deli apologized for the meatballs. So, Daniel, how goes it in the big trench?
Here's the thing that bugs me earth core deep, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have even been doing this story. Yeah, I should have been covering Ivan. You know how that feels to miss out on maybe the last big hurricane of your career?
I wouldn't worry, Daniel. They're saying there'll be a lot more bad hurricanes next few years.
Global warming.
I think so. Well, I have to say, Daniel, you don't look like a worried man.
I'm not paid to look like a worried man, Hoss. I'm paid to do old-fashioned beat-your-shoe-leather to the pavement until it cries uncle-style reporting.
Well,
actually, I'm not. I'm paid to sit at the desk and read the news. But I'm not paid to look worried, unlike some of my unnamed colleagues.
Hey, pal, maybe they're afraid. Who knows? Maybe the Bush family owns part of Viacom. You know, just getting into the swim of the theorizing
I know.
But doesn't it seem the least bit suspicious that people were punching holes in your documents, metaphorically speaking, mm-hmm. just a couple of hours after you went off the air?
Maybe the Bush family has a mole in my shop. Maybe, to be fair, so does the carry operation.
All
just
right.
Trying to do what I've always done, Michael. Mm-hmm. Play it straight down the middle of the fairway. No hook. No slice.
Save it for the press conference, amigo. Your credibility is on the line.
Oh, look here, Hoss. My credibility's been on the line ever since I kissed goodbye to KRLD-TV Dallas. Mm. My credibility's on the line every time we do a reality check. An inside story. A money minute.
All right, then. The tattered remnant of what used to be the credibility of this organization's on the line.
Oh, I know it, Michael. But we've been there and done that. For a while, the whole of the Western world thought a certain Mike Wallace was full of alar. You came back. We came back.
Those were different times, Daniel. Oh. Those were just apples. More importantly, I didn't have a target on my back for all Republicans to aim at since I left the Pecos.
Michael, how long have we known each other?
A few decades, give or take a few decades.
Mm-hmm. That's the first time I ever heard you pronounce the name of that river correctly, is if you don't buy your boots at Florsheim's.
Well.
But you...
You all right, Daniel? Daniel?
Yes.
Just a little clump of oyster ragu had caught in my windpipe there. No reason to call Dr. Heimlich.
All right.
But Brother Wallace... Mm-hmm. When we reported this week that the documents may be inauthentic, but the story itself is rock solid and dead steer definite, you didn't believe that?
Daniel, there's a website called Rathergate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. The man who rocketed to national prominence covering Watergate is now, himself, a gate.
Compadre, let's just shinny down the flagpole a few feet here. You're not saying that because this story raises up some desert dust devils during election year that we shouldn't have covered it,
Are you?
No, I'm definitely not saying that. I don't even know what a desert dust...
All right, then, at least we're squatting at the same campfire.
I'm just saying, maybe an extra dollop of the old rather skepticism
Oh, sure, please. Throughout this whole story, I've been more skeptical than a heifer at a cattle auction, but we would be shirking our obligation to voters if we waited to report this story until after the election, wouldn't we? Isn't that who our political coverage is supposed to serve?
I thought we were here to serve viewers.
Voters are viewers.
But not all viewers are voters.
Well, maybe that's part of our world, part of our job, to help turn viewers into voters.
Well, if what Drudge says about your ratings is true, some of your viewers have already voted.
Brother Wallace, I don't know. Maybe I was injected at birth with bulldog DNA, but this is a story we worked long and hard to get our teeth into, and I see no reason not to give it a good shaking until and unless we've got diamond-hard proof, court case clear and car crash conclusive, that these documents came from, I guess you'd have to call it, the counterfeit file. And if and when that happens, we're going to be bulldog tough on that angle, too. Can't help it, Hoss. It's the way I'm hardwired. In the meantime, I'm going to hunker down in here and enjoy what's left of my cowboy steak.
The Four Seasons has something called cowboy steak?
It's just their pepper steak with some hot sauce on it.
Oh. Look, Daniel, I guess my point is simply, we're all concerned for you. Even if you're not concerned for you or about you.
Michael, you think I haven't applied the backside of my good side to the members of my team, what few of them are left? Look, compadre, you know as well as I do, 20 years ago we had the budget to consult all the document experts in the country and as well as having the people to read their reports. Now we're trying to do first-class journalism from way back in the economy cabin. We're riding on intern labor, my friend. Mm. Not copying any kind of plea here. It's just as Uncle Walter used to say, that it's just... That's the way it is.
I know, Daniel, but faxes from the Abilene Kinkos.
Michael, hear this and hear this well. Don't jump to conclusions just yet, please, partner. We're deep into finding out for 24 carats sure whether or not Abilene has a second Kinkos. I seem to think it does.
All right, Daniel. Well, if there's anything I can do or say or not do or say, be sure to let me know.
Hoss, I appreciate it, but this you can take down to the mint and print money on. Dan Rather doesn't sacrifice a good hurricane story for a bad politics story. That dog don't hunt.
Okay, Brother Rather. Good luck.
They don't let me say it on the air anymore, Michael, but courage. You want some plum mousse for the road?
No, thanks. Good night.
Going to spend the rest of our program with Hunter Thompson, recorded in Boulder, Colorado, November 1st, 1977.
Oh, we have some mics back there, and does anybody, you know, we want some suggestions. Well, does anybody have a suggestion for a question?
Well, no, we're going to try to determine the nature and the meaning of the crowd, as it were.
And, hey, hello, is this on?
We're off on the wrong subject. It would take us a long time to get back to the right subject. Is there any dominant curiosity here that we can deal with? You, yes.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you what is reality, man, okay? What I want to know is, do you think
that's my favorite
that,
question.
Do you think that the authorities on Earth, be they what they are, have been contacted by extraterrestrials, intelligent creatures from another planet? I really want to ask you this, man.
Which authorities? Who?
Whichever ones are in charge, you know, it depends on where you are.
Yeah, probably so.
Thank you.
Why not? Okay, is that the subject we have to deal with tonight?
Is this one on, too? Have you ever, since Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, do you think you've ever found the American dream, that, you know, that discotheque you were looking for?
I found it right there. That's what I was. That's the great American novel.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you know, Hunter, one of the questions that we came up with is like when you're writing about American Dream and Fear and Loathing, and we weren't really quite sure what you were talking about, really.
Well, what bothered you about it?
Well, the whole idea of American Dream is there really something out there to be looking for, or you know, why we're all here, right, guys?
Okay. Yeah, it's like the golden streets of heaven, or the U.S. Marines who patrol them. Yeah, we've been taught, whole generations of people in this country, we've been taught that the American Dream is the sort of guiding ethic, free enterprise, democracy, honesty, truth, beauty, things like that. And then it is kind of puzzling, you know. You feel kind of naked and alone out there, because once you found the dream and now there's just a slab of burned-out concrete in Las Vegas called the Old Psychiatrist Club, then, you know, it's kind of hard to go on from there in the same... You don't have the same dedication to journalism. I flew out here from Chicago. Actually, I came from New York, but on the Chicago leg. Tex Colson, I'm sure he's probably here tonight. It didn't occur to me to ask him if he was coming out here for my speech.
It's probably here.
But Tex Colson, my old friend from the White House, who is now... Apparently, for the first time, I listened to him for 2 hours, and I think he probably is serious about Jesus. But it was strange sitting next to a guy. I noticed that he was wearing a sort of a yellow French cuff shirt, and he had his presidential cufflinks on. And I was going to ask him, right at the end, as I got off the plane, I was going to tap him on the shoulder and say, those are nice cufflinks. I don't have any myself. But the... You know, the last time I saw the ones you're wearing, you bastard, you were pointing at me and saying they're going to put me in jail for the duration, which is true. The last time Colson spoke to me was to threaten to put me in jail for just being a degenerate. You know, it's a bad person. The record should show that since then Colson's been in jail and I haven't. And I don't need Jesus yet. I might. We can keep Jesus in reserve. Did we answer that question? No, we didn't. Yeah, we did, yeah. How did we?
It's a question up the balcony.
Questions?
Yeah, on the balcony. In your book, The Hell's
on
Angels...
On top there?
Yeah, right here.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. In your book, The Hell's Angels, you described a Hell's Angels gangbang at a merry pranksters party up in San Francisco, I think it was.
La Honda.
La Hama, yeah. And in Tom Wolfe's book, Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, he described a scene that was very similar.
It wasn't just similar. I sent Tom my tapes, and I think the exact... Yeah. He asked if I'd send him, you know, the kind of raw data, as a horrible kind of phrase. It was an ugly, vicious scene. And... That's the any similarity is explained by the fact that we both describe it from my tapes.
Oh. Whatever happened to Tom Wolfe? Whatever happened to Tom Wolfe? Where is he now?
Oh, he's you know, alive and well in New York. And he's turning into a royalist of sorts. But then he thinks I'm turning into a brain damaged geek. So Tom's idea of you know, of a progressive decade is, you know, a camel's hair coat in every closet and Gucci's on every other foot. But he doesn't agree with me that the country is into what I call the grim slide. I think it is. But yeah, he's a good person. He's a good writer and a good human being. And he doesn't hurt anybody. You know, he gets by without causing the kind of damage that Colson caused, or Nixon. Only when I have to. And yeah, I don't think people understand just how rotten and wretched and sick the tree to be a writer. You understand? Who said that? Oh, God's mercy on you. Yeah, I'll write when I must write. Either that or I have to go to work. And I haven't had a job in about 21 years. But you pay dues in some odd way when you have to finally make up for not working for 3 or 4 years. It catches up. It hurts. It's hard. That's what I'm doing now. You have to take this kind of thing very seriously and work at it. And well, like Julian Bond, I saw him on Tom Snyder the other night saying that 3 months out of the year he goes out for 90 straight days. And he probably makes about $5,000 a day at that. Now, I figure if I can make $2,000 a month at it, that pays for my cocaine. We keep a separate account for this. It's a very frivolous account. Yeah, I figure the money should be spent in the same way that came in. For no reason at all. You want to talk again? Go ahead. I have never met Trudeau. Every time he gets a chance to meet me, he gets sick. Yeah, it actually happens once a year at the normal parties, the annual normal convention in Washington. He sells cartoons, to raise money, and I'm this national strategist on the extremist side. I actually am on the advisory board, the National Advisory Board, which is eerie after being a criminal for 20 years to look down and see your name on the bottom of the stationery on the advisory board with all these, like the ex-director of the DEA and the same people who've been trying to lock you up for the last 18 of the last 20 years. You're now on the board of directors with a bunch of dope addicts. It's wonderful. Trudeau is... I'm not sure who's using whom in that situation. The only constant reaction I have to it is it's very strange to be a cartoon character. when you're trying to get around the world and still make a living and get by. And if you don't believe it, try it sometime or even ask, or try to find somebody you can ask what it feels like. There ain't none around. It's a very strange thing to be. And it happens all over the world, in Perth, Australia, in Mystic, Connecticut, anywhere that goddamn comic strip constantly pops up. Waco, Texas. It robs me of a very valuable and kind of human part of my life, which is the kind of privacy you assume. Some people want to grow up and be firemen and some want to be president. Nobody wants to grow up and be a cartoon character. So, and there's no precedent. Nobody can tell you what it's, you're not, they don't teach courses on how to handle it. I might someday. I wondered about that. It's odd just to be, never mind, let's get on to something else.
You got a question?
Will you ever run for an office again? Say in Aspen.
Right now, I would say no, unconditionally. I mean, honest, no. As close as I ever came to being insane, except maybe for last summer, was when I actually considered running for the Senate, from Colorado. I seriously thought of it. And I feel full of shame and grief to look back on that and realize that I was serious. Well, only for a while. Who's talking? Wait a minute. Did people hear that? You're not even knowing. What's my opinion of David Rockefeller and the Trilateral Commission? Well, let's see. We know first they're rich people. And second, they're powerful people because they're rich. They're not necessarily smart. And to me, not necessarily dangerous. But they're just smart enough to be embarrassed about the kind of stuff that would make them dangerous. No? You? Well, what's that mean to you? You could be right. I don't think so. Just ease up to the mic. We can do that.
Wait to see him walk out upstairs up there.
Like with Zbigniew Brzezinski giving sort of acceptance to Rockefeller that said, you know, Carter's a good man. Why don't we make him president? And, you know, being the
but that's what Ziggy said to Rocky.
That's what Ziggy said to David, you know, a bit of time ago, I suppose around 75, when they first interviewed Carter to see if he was, you know, an acceptable person for the Trilateral Commission.
And he was acceptable before then.
Before then.
He was acceptable back in 72 or 3.
Oh, wow, well, I'm sure he's
why should he be? You know, he's a businessman.
Yeah, really, hell. But,
former? You know, an agrarian liberal? What the hell?
Yeah, really?
You know, urban conservative, it, you know, comes out...
So, you know,
fascist
like,
libertarian, excuse me.
Actually, libertarian, say?
Hmm?
Did you say actually libertarian?
Well, I'm just trying out phrases, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get a chance to use the microphones that often and hear what it sounds like at
really,
all like this.
It booms, doesn't it?
I kind of like fascist libertarian. It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Hamilton Jordan calling Arab sand niggers, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And there's a certain ring to it, you know. It stops you. You have to think, who said that? Oh, that's Hamilton Jordan, yes.
Like, do you ever consider what that sort of signifies? And do you have an opinion on that?
Why Hamilton Jordan refers to Arab descendants?
No.
Which one?
No.
I have opinions on that. I think it's dumb. And dangerous.
No, more in the line of like, you know, the Trilateral Commission being West Germany, Japan, and America, and, you know, they're just trying to maintain capitalism.
This is like the Bilderberger Society. You know? It's one of these boogeymen, like the communists, you know, in a sense, say in South America or among low-level American diplomats or soldiers, who actually attribute massive and unnatural strength to the enemy in order to justify their own existence.
Right, oh, sure.
I'm not worried about the Trilateral Commission. Those bastards can barely keep their banks afloat, much
for
less
sure.
having to...
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah,
you
really
can be sure
yeah.
that with all the presidential candidates last time, I'm certain Carter was not the choice of the almost pure establishment kind of people who are and you know, are on and run the Trilateral
yeah,
Commission.
Yeah, only because they didn't know him.
Well, they had their... you know, they had all their own people,
sure.
including the incumbent president.
Yeah.
You know, a dingbat Republican with no brains
yeah,
at all.
Oh,
just
yeah. You know, pick by Nixon.
Of course, he'd do anything.
Pick by Nixon.
Like a fat Eisenhower.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it was in the interest of David Rockefeller and those people to risk electing Carter when they had their choice, if they were smart enough to get him elected, of almost any of their own people.
You really don't. I mean, hell, the Trilateral Commission has a commission.
Why are you scared of these people? It's like water rats, you know, or field rats.
Hell,
you could be right, but I've gone through a lot of paranoia.
Yeah.
And I'm still paranoid about some things, but that's not one of them.
Yeah.
You know, the more you see those people and actually have to confront them on their own turf, I think maybe you like them more, perhaps, but you respect them less or you worry about them less.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're less powerful.
Yeah, they're not competent.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't even
of course,
control.
They can't even direct their power. For sure.
What's
but,
that?
Okay.
You're losing control of yourself.
I have a question. What do you think
people
of those...
I can't hear you.
What do you think of those new amyl substitutes like Rush? You know? Are you familiar with those?
Is that the... there's a... yeah, I know what you mean. It's butyl nitrate. Rather than amyl nitrate.
So where do we get the good stuff now?
Well, if you have any, come see me. You come up right now, in fact.
You can talk.
It's too hard for that one.
No, it's just like drinking, watered whiskey or the kind of cocaine that's sold mainly around here right now, if any is sold. Yeah, it's sort of Fifth Avenue cocaine, that kind of thing.
Did you vote for Salamander for president?
For who?
For president.
Who Salamander.
I'm getting two voices and I only see one person. That lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I endorsed him for mayor of Aspen, but not for president. Right. I didn't endorse Carter either, goddammit. That was the only winner who did that. All I said about Carter was that he was about to prove that Adlai Stevenson was right when he said that people, in a democracy, people get the kind of government they deserve. And I think the only person who really understood that and didn't like the article and didn't think it was at all funny was Carter. Yeah, and Hamilton joined. Yeah, he didn't like Hamilton. The first time I met Hamilton, I set him on fire. They had a party last night at the White House for early supporters of Carter. I wasn't invited. Yeah, Jan Winter and I spent last night deep in grief of not being invited to the early supporters of Carter party. They had about 500 people, but I'm not sure who they were. Who admits to it now?
Question over here. What do you think of Eldridge Cleaver's recent Jesus Freakdom?
I believe that if I were Eldridge Cleaver, and we're looking at 7 or 8 years in Soledad, I'd damn well endorse anything rather than go, But, and that's your own kind of private hell that I'm sure they attach, this is Tex Colson's prison fellowship thing, and I believe he's serious. And there is a box number on it, if you want to describe. It's prison fellowships. Anyone want to write this box number down? Well, a bunch of cynics. You know, a man can change. But boy, for Tex Colson to change, and I don't know Eldridge, but I know what kind of perverse swine federal cops can be. And can you imagine having to live with somebody who says you can stay free as long as you endorse Jesus and never admit it to anybody? Not even your bet. The first time you even hint that you're kidding, zip into Folsom. That to me is as close to hell as you get on earth. That's what I'd do if I were a cop. Just to make him repent publicly, and the first time, as a condition of the parole, which none of us will ever hear about, that if he ever laughs, if he ever doesn't do it with a straight face, it's right into prison. That's an ugly kind of punishment.
We have a question up on the balcony.
Yes, I was wondering if you could
tell us
about... The
balcony's big, man. Stand up or something. Wait, I can't...
Could you tell us about your latest bout with venereal disease?
No. Fortunately, I can answer that with a clear and Christian heart and bright white eyes. I've not been troubled by venereal disease recently. And so I can't tell you about it. But I warn you against the filthy herpes.
So my real
herpes syndrome that gets on people. My
real question is, could you give me your feelings about disco?
Well, you're a smart son of a bitch.
KC and the Sun.
I feel the same way about disco as I do about herpes. All right, what do you got next?
Over here.
No, it's your turn again. I want to see you walk on that one.
I'm up here in the balcony and I can't hear.
Let's go down here. All right.
You've been listening to Dr. Hunter S. Thompson, recorded 1977 in Boulder, Colorado. My name is Scooter. You've been listening to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston. See y'all later.